at the cross. We sure can't rest it in our merit, Brother Steve. I guess we went to, we've done been judged there on Calvary. We don't have to worry about that, do we, Brother Miller? Amen. Well, glory to God. It's just good to be saved, isn't it? I tell you, I've just felt the Spirit of God all day long. Just praise the Lord for it. Well, praise His sweet name. I'm kind of wrestling around with the message. I'm thinking I might need to preach my Sunday school lesson this morning that I had, just kind of put it together in a few minutes. But I'd like to pray. I'd surely like to find the Lord. I could go back to Judges 16. I know y'all getting a little frustrated, maybe me hanging out there, but I just can't help it. I've got a few more messages to preach out of there. And so I just want what the Lord wants tonight. I'm just going to ask you, if you would, bow your head. And Brother Ronnie Burns, would you ask the Lord for direction tonight, please? Amen. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I pray that's the will of the Lord tonight. There's Joe getting him another reward put up on the other side. Amen. Well, I'm going to read the whole first chapter. Just 18 verses, so just bear with me and let's read. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace, God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first, thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Ain't that a precious verse right there? Oh, I like that. Verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Boy, he's up against it there, wasn't he? This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, as whom is Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Let me read on just a little bit. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard among me, heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. All right, let's stop right there and pray with me and for me tonight. Our dear Heavenly Father, I come to you tonight. Lord, you know I just want to preach what you want me to preach, what you'd have. And Lord, I pray that you'd give me the proper direction. I pray your unseen hand, Father's letting me the right way, and I ask you now to help us. Lord, I ask you to open the hearts. I ask you to let me preach with power. I ask, oh God, if you would, to do a work in our midst, change us, Lord. When we leave these 2 days, these 2 services, may we be eternally changed. Oh, Father, help us now. Meet with us. Manifest your presence. Thank you for being with us in the singing. Lord, we'll just give you the glory for all you do. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I want to talk to you, maybe take this just a little differently. Now, we know in context that this is the Apostle Paul writing to a young preacher. We know that. Those of you in the Sunday school class, you just have to bear with me for a little bit till we get past where we was at this morning. This is Paul. He's getting ready to depart. Chapter 4 says this, and I preach on this a lot, because really what this is a picture of is the changing of the guards. That's really what it is. Spiritually, it's a changing of the guards. Paul said, I am now ready to be offered, and time my departure is at hand. And so the Apostle Paul, that great soldier of the cross, he's getting ready to leave this life. He's getting ready to depart. And he has a young man there, I think, that's going to step in when he's gone. And he will not, I guess, will not do the work the Apostle Paul did as far as the starting of the Gentile churches, but he's going to carry it on. He's going to be the one that comes in behind. And so there's some things that the Apostle Paul says to young Timothy. And although you are all not preachers, you are servants of God. And I look across this room and I see the 30-year-olds, the 25-year-olds, the 35-year-olds, the 40-year-olds. And can I say, you need to be stepping up. You need to be stepping up. Now, we've got some older folks that carry a load around here and doing a good job of it. I'm not saying anything about that. But 20 years from now, what your ages are is what this church is going to be. You might as well get that in your head. 20, 25 years from now, you're going to be 45, 50, 55, 60. You'll make this church what it ought to be. And somebody needs to kindly challenge you a little bit to step up and get serious about this thing of serving the Lord and get some of this foolishness that don't amount to anything. Challenge you to put it aside and put God first in your life. And maybe you have. I pray everyone in this room's done that tonight. But if you haven't, you need to. And if you don't have a mind to, you ought to think about it and see what God would have you do with your life. And so here's this elder statesman. It's time to depart. It's come. Not to depart to another country. Not to depart to another part of this globe. But to depart and to be with the Lord. And so he's educating young Timothy. And he shares some things with him. And I, uncomfortable. I've probably touched on this before, but y'all need to hear it again and again and again. I'm telling you, we need our young folk. I'm just not talking. Hey, I want to tell you, young fellas, son, you step up for the glory of God. Be what God wants you to be. And so I want to look tonight. That's just kind of the burden of my heart. That's kind of where I'm at tonight. I want to look tonight at some of the things that the Apostle Paul said to young Timothy. He's not going to get to talk to him again. I mean, his time's coming to a close, and he's writing this letter right on death, nipping at his heels, and he feels the breath of death breathing down his neck, and he knows it won't be long, and he's trying to instruct this young man in some ways. And I want you to notice what he said in verse number 6. Wherefore, we see the first thing that I want to mention. Verse number 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Here's what he said: stir up the gift that God's put in you. Now I said this, you're not all preachers, but you all have a work to do for the Lord. Today in the Sunday school class, we went to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'm going to go back over there, and I know, y'all just bear with me a minute. But here's what it says: but the manifestation of the Spirit's given to every man to profit withal. And it's talking in terms, chapter 12, speaking in terms of spiritual gifts. I want to say God has empowered every one of you in this room tonight with the abilities to do a work for Him. He expects you to do that. I'm reminded of the man that rolled his talent up in a napkin and buried it in the ground. The Lord come back and said, hey, you ought to put that to usury. You ought to at least drew some in, draw. You ought to at least put it in the bank and drew some interest off of that. Instead, you put it in the ground and buried it. And you're wicked and you're slothful because you didn't use what I gave you to use. My, I want to say to you, don't hide your talent. Don't bury what little ability God give you. Say it's not much. God give it to you. Brother King said it tonight. God give it to you. Little is much if God is in it. Amen. Well, here's what I'm challenging you to do tonight. I guess I'm just right back on this serving God, but here's what he said. He said, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. He's talking about his preaching ability. I'm talking about your gift tonight. What's God have for your life? What is it he has for your life? What should you be doing tonight? You know what he said? Is it laying dormant? It's what God called you to do, wants you to do. I don't know what the word's called, and I know I've said before, and I speak of different things. Some folks, it just seems to me like God's will for their lives to be singers. Singers aren't called, but I've said that before. I understand there's callings of God. Every gift's not a calling. I understand that. But he's gifted you and given you something to do for his work. Are you doing that? You know what Paul told Timothy? Here's Timothy. I believe he's got a little sluggish. I believe he's a little fearful. We're going to see it in just a minute. I believe he's kind of drawn back, drawn into shell. And he's just not doing anything much for the Lord. Here's what Paul said. I'm getting ready to die. I'm getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to part from this earth. You're going to have to step up. And the first thing you're going to have to do, stir up what the gift that God's put in you. You know how you stir up your gift? You use it. You work it. Can I tell you what you need to do, young folk? You need to kick up a little dust for the glory of God. That's right. You need to kick up a little dust for the glory of God. What have you done for the glory of God lately? Just asking you. Kick up a little dust. First thing he said, I'm getting ready to depart. You stir up your gift. Can I ask you, why don't you stir up your gift? Maybe you are. Maybe you have. Maybe you're continuing to, but if you're not, if you've grown up in the shell, you've wrapped yourself up, you slipped into a comfort zone, why don't you stir up the gift God's put inside of you? Oh my, kick up a little dust for the glory of God. Do something. And so he tells him, stir up the gift. Man, I wish somebody would say amen. It helped me just a little bit. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Let's not sit around like a bunch of wooden Indians. Either say amen or sit down, one of the two. Hey, I'm telling you, we need to stir up the gift God's put in us. Oh, my. That's a burden of my heart. I see people just wandering spiritually down the road and just helter-skelter, however. However, whatever happens is okay. My, stir up your gift. But then I want you to notice what else he says. After that, verse 7 says, four. He's connecting verse 6 with verse 7 when he uses that conjunction. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear. He's talking about the mind again. Here we are on the mind. He said, now, Timothy, you're going to have to get your mind right. We talked about where the strongholds was this morning. Strongholds is in the mind. Mind. He said, first of all, that fear you have, it's not of God. I want to tell you young folk, that fear you have, it's not of God. God doesn't give his children spirit of fear. That's right. I'm telling you right. And I understand a lot of us are cowards. I said it this morning. I'm saying it again. I know I'm saying some of the same things. Just bear with me. We don't have to be cowards. He said this spirit of fear, this thing in your mind of fear, man fear, afraid what people will think, afraid what people will say. That's about all you can be afraid of because they ain't going to hurt you, Brother Allen. They ain't going to shoot you or beat you or give you 39 stripes like Paul did. They're not going to. All you be afraid of is what they might say about you or think about you. Here's what Paul said. He said, that fear you have, Timothy, that's holding you back, it's not of God. And then he said this. He said, but God's not given us spirit of fear, but of power. You ought to have a can-do attitude. A can-do attitude with the Lord. You ought to have a can-do attitude. He won't tell you anything to do. He won't expect anything out of you that he won't help you do. Amen. You know that's right tonight. He will not do that. Hey, he said you've given a mind of power and of love. You've given this thing of love. Can I tell you what we need to do? We need to love one another around here. That's right. I'm telling you right. I'm telling you, we come in, we leave, we come in, we leave, we come in, we leave. Sometimes we won't even speak to each other, maybe for 3 or 4 weeks. Can I tell you, this ought to be a family around here. You ought to promote love. God wants his people to love each other. Amen. You know that's right. Here's what he said. Hey, you got work to do. I'm getting ready to go, but you better get your mind right. You better get over that fear. You've been given a mind of power, a mind of love, and a sound mind. So I want to ask you today, is your mind right? We've been on that 2 services now. Won't you get your mind right? Hey, if your mind don't think like the Word of God teaches, you're not thinking right. Just how it is. That's right. You're exalting your knowledge. You're exalting yourself above the knowledge of God. And so he says this, get your mind right. And then he says, lastly, about this thing of our mind, in verse 8, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. A lot of God's people's ashamed of who they are. Ashamed of their heritage. They like the old time way, but they just don't want nobody to know about it. What would you think if your friends and your neighbors and those you work with sitting in the service when the power come down, when the glory fell around here, folks started making a lap, shouting it out. Would it embarrass you? Would you be ashamed? Would you kind of drop your head because you're identified with that as a member of this church? Can I tell you, you ought not be ashamed of the old time way. It's the right way. It's God's way. Amen. Here's what he's telling Timothy. He's saying, buddy, I'm getting ready to go and you're going to be in charge. You better start thinking right. If you think right, you're going to have to get rid of that fear. And when you get rid of that fear, you need to kick up some dust or stir up the gift, he said. That's within you. We'll ask you folks that tonight. Are you ready to stir up the gift that God's put in you? Oh my, verse number 8. Let me show you the last mindset before we get on. Before we go on, he said, be not ashamed. But he said this too. Be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I read or heard or somewhere I saw something that said this, that God's people ought to prepare their children to suffer for the cause of Christ. I think there's something to that. We do suffer, do we not? These people won't have a thing to do with me. They don't like me. They might not talk about me, but indirectly, they thrown off on me. They don't care. You know why? Just because I preach the truth, I think. I think that's all it is. I don't know that I've hurt them or tore them down. I've even had folks poison me with other folks, and I hadn't done anything to them but preach the Word of God. Can I tell you, that could hurt your feelings if you let it. It could hurt your feelings if you let it. Trying to be good to people, Brother Miller. Some folks, the better you are, the worse they'll treat you. That's right. These folks in this church, we've been better to than anybody in town. They packed their little bags, went down the road. I mean, this church was good to them. Well, it's so. Helped them with hospital bills and everything else. Packed their little bags and went down the road and threw off on the church. The man of God. I guess that ain't much affliction, but that's a little affliction. It hurts a little bit. You might as well get ready. It's going to come to you. You're a holier than thou. You're a fake. You just make up stuff. You do this. You do that. Well, here's what he said, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Well, it's just how it is. And so just arm your mind. This next generation's coming home. Y'all better grow up and get ready. You're going to be roughed up a little bit. Brother Allen, somebody's going to say this. You sang the same old songs. You sang too slow. You sang too loud. You sing too fast. You don't sing enough. However they can do it, you might as well get ready for it. That's part of it. You might as well arm yourself. You're going to suffer a little bit for they're going to make light of you. They're going to make light of this old time way. They're going to make light of shouting. They're going to make light of taking a lap. I'll tell you, just get ready and stay true to God through it all. Amen. There'll be some die out, but I hope there's some coming on. Looks like there might be. Here's what he said. Get your mind right. Get rid of the fear. Get that can-do attitude, that attitude of power. Get that love, that mindset of love. Soundness of thinking. Unashamedness. And arm yourself with the fact that you're going to suffer. Get your mind right. He's telling Timothy, Get your mind right. I'm getting ready to leave. I can't baby and pamper you anymore. I can't look over. I can't tell people to take care of you and take it easy on you and build you up. You're going to have to run the race, just you and God. And the first thing you need to do, stir up your gift. But if you're going to do that, you're going to have to get the right mindset. My, that's where you're at tonight. Young folk, if you're going on with God, you're going to have to get the right mindset. You might as well get ready for that. Well, let's go to chapter number 2. We're going to see the second thing that I want to talk about for a little bit. He's saying this, if you're going to go on with God, he said, I'm going, Timothy, you're going to be left. But now what you've got to do, not only, you've got to get your mind right, you've got to decide you're going to be a good soldier. You're going to have to fight a good fight. Can I tell you, one thing I found out, we're in a fight. We're in a battle. Somebody in this room will be the next casualty at this church. There's a good chance that we won't live another 25, 30 years without somebody in this room packing their bags, going down the road, maybe selling out to easy believism, or selling out to liberalism, or selling out to the old time way, selling it out. Oh, I'm telling you, you better be careful. Somebody's going to be a casualty next. You better be aware. We're in a battle. You're going to be a casualty if you're not careful. Well, what do I have to do if I'm going to be a successful soldier? Here's what he says. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. The two E's, I guess, endurance and entanglement. That's it. You're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier. I was all over this morning. I guess I preached this morning to some degree. You're going to have to endure hardness. It's not always easy. Last year wasn't always so easy, was it, Brother Miller? You started sharing. I didn't realize all them things had taken place. You was talking about the other day. Mike, and I just tell you, it's not always easy. Sometimes there's hardness that comes in her life. Sometimes it's hard times. Sometimes you preach and you feel like it's flying back in your face. Sometimes you sing and they just look at you like they don't even know what you're singing about, Brother Allen. Sometimes you try to teach a class and the little old kids are playing, won't even pay attention to you. Oh my, it's not always easy. Oh, sometimes the finances get hard. Sometimes the home life is difficult. Sometimes your health's not what it ought to be. Hey, it's not always easy. But can I tell you what y'all do? Just hang in there. Things will get better down the road. Just endure hardness as a good soldier. Jesus Christ. Oh, my. He said, endure hardness. I don't know. I want to tell these 30-year-olds, 25 to 40-year-olds, 45-year-olds, you're going to have to learn to endure hardness. Boy, that's real shouted out preaching, but that's just the way it is. You're going to have to learn to toughen up. You're going to have to toughen up. And I guess I'm a fine one to be telling you that. Because I don't feel too tough myself, but in this work of the Lord, you're going to have to toughen up a little bit. There's going to be some hard times, and my, if you don't toughen up and have some endurance in your life, you're going to be a casualty. You're going to be a casualty. And then you're going to have to stay unentangled. You know why my generation didn't get it done? You want me to tell you? Well, I'm going to tell you, Brother Steve, I'm going to tell you. We was too entangled. We didn't have time to serve God. Oh no, we had big fine homes to pay for and cars to pay for and bank accounts to build. And I'm not against any of that. God bless you. God give you all them things, everything and more with it. I want to tell you, be sure God gives it to you and you not put him on the back burner so you can get tired. Amen. Got entangled. My generation got entangled in the world. I don't think they're not even out of it now. thing about entanglement, it just seems to get worse. You have to make a conscious effort to get out of entanglement. It's not just going to happen one day that the tangles is going to be gone. It's not going to happen. I want to tell you, young families in this church, don't get entangled. Just listen to the preacher tonight. I know. You can pick me apart and half pick me apart. Don't get entangled. It'll rob you. It'll rob you of serving God. Don't get entangled. Don't drive your tent stakes too deep. We're just pilgrims just passing through. We're just here for a little while. Don't drive your tent stakes too deep. Stay unentangled from the world. If you stay unentangled and you endure hardness, you'll make a pretty good soldier. You'll make a pretty good soldier. You know God used you. Here's what Paul's saying to him. He's saying, Timothy, get ready to leave you, and you're going to be on your own. You're going to have some endurance about you. You can't be this little scaredy cat afraid what somebody might say or somebody might do or how somebody might act towards you. You've got to have that spirit of power about your life that you can do it. You're going to do it by the grace of God. You've got to have that. You've got to have those other mindsets I talked about. I don't want to go over them again. But then he said this, you're going to have to endure a few things. You're going to get roughed up. It's going to be hard. But you're going to have to endure some things. And when you get past that, the devil is going to try to entangle you in this life. And you're going to have to get past that. You're going to be a soldier. Tonight, but maybe that's just the devil fighting. Can I tell you something? 30 years old, it won't be long, you'll be 60. Here's what you'll say, what me and Brother Miller saying. Where did it go? What we're saying, Brother Miller, where did it go? I mean, really, my body's breaking down, Brother Miller. You told me yours is too. By 50, you start breaking down, you just slow. Old age is a gradual process. You just slowly give up. You slowly give up. You slowly give up. I understand that. But can I tell you, young folk, you better take me serious tonight. You'll wake up one day and life will pass you by because you're entangled. Because you wouldn't endure. And you become a casualty in the warfare. And you're on the sidelines and your life's not meant much for the glory of God. Oh, here he is. He's talking to young Timothy. He said this, stir up the gift. Get the right attitude. Be the right kind of soldier. I want you to look at verse number 5. Maybe we could say athlete here. You can say whatever you want to say. But it says this, if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. God's work has to be done God's way. We done talked about it. I mean, the more I'm preaching this, the more I know I preached some of this morning. I'm saying this. This church got to do God's work God's way. We've got to do that, church. Young folk, you've got to do God's work God's way. I'd like to take you over there, Jeremiah, where it says to stay with the old path. Stay with the old path. You know what we're trying to do? Find a new path that works better. That's contrary to what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches stay with the old paths. That's what it says, Brother Steve. It doesn't say, hey, go down here and look what they're doing to get a big crowd. You do the same thing. That's all they're doing is mimicking one another, seeing who and how the biggest playhouse, Brother Steve. That's what it is. You think God's going to honor that? I want to tell you, He's not going to honor that. He's not going to, hey, you know what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ? Them works are going to burn up like wood hay and stubble burns up. That's exactly right. All that labor, all that effort's going to be in vain. God's getting no glory out of that. They're not striving lawfully. They're not striving lawfully. God's work has to be done God's way. He told Timothy, now you're going to be tempted. You know, in last days, perilous times will come. That's right, last days. Well, that's chapter 3, ain't it? Yeah, last days, perilous times will come. Men shall be lovers of their own self, and it goes down there through what all they are. Hey, by the way, I believe that was in the church. I want you to know what it says here. I want you to notice what it says. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's church people. Form of godliness, denying the power thereof. All them other things is in the church. They wasn't striving lawfully. You know what Paul knew old Timothy would be? I guess they got a big crowd, don't you reckon? I suspect they drew a big crowd. And I guess old Paul knew Timothy would be tempted to go that route. He said, hey, if you're going to be rewarded, you're going to have to strive lawfully. If you're going to be crowned, you're going to have to strive lawfully. I want to tell you, if you expect to receive anything from God, you're going to have to do God's work, God's way. Don't ever forget that. Oh, my. He said, strive lawfully. Chapter 2 and verse 15. He said this, you're going to have to study. Study. I want to tell the 30, 45-year-olds, don't argue with the preacher till you study the Word of God. That's right. If you're not going to study and you're not going to pray and you're not going to try to rightly divide the Word, don't attack the man of God that does that. Amen and amen. You're going to be used to God. Study. 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 Rightly dividing the Word of God. Study the Word of God. If you're going to say somebody's wrong, have a reason for it. Have a valid reason. Give them a scripture showing them why they're wrong. Study. Here's what he's saying. Get the right mindset. Kick up some dust. Get past that fear. Get that mindset of that can-do mind. Get that attitude of love. That spirit of love. That spirit of a sound mind. That spirit of unashamedness. That spirit of suffering. Get that in your mind. Then you endure hardness. And you stay unentangled. And you strive lawfully. You study and you rightly divide. Chapter 2 and verse 22, he said, flee. I'm not going to belabor that point. Here's what he said. There's some things you need to flee from. Well, flee fornication is one of them. Isn't that right? We can just preach a message on some things we ought to flee from. I mean, we can just camp out there and preach a while. But this generation coming on, you young married folks, you're going to mount anything for God. There's some things you're going to have to flee. He tells young Timothy, flee youthful lust. Then he not only did he say flee, but he said, I want you to follow after some things. I want you to follow some things. What did he say to follow? Look at verse 22. Follow righteousness. Follow faith. Follow charity. Follow peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Follow some things. Follow the godly things and flee the ungodly and keep yourself righteous and holy in this present world. That's what he's saying. Is he trying to be mean to Timothy? Trying to help him. Trying to help him, Brother Miller. Now, Timothy could have blowed up on him. Well, you don't have any right. Look what your ministry's got you into. Everybody's forsaken you except Luke, and he's with you. Man, I don't want no ministry like that. I want a crowd around me. He could have said a lot of things. You don't have a right to talk to me like that, Paul. You don't have a right. Who do you think you are? I take my orders from God. He could have done a lot of things, but I'll tell you what I think, just my opinion. I think he received. I believe he did, Brother Steve. I believe deep in his heart, he said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me a man of God to tell me how it is. Thank you for that." Oh my. He said, "Flee and follow." Verse 24, I don't know what to call it. I just called it long-suffering. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. You can't fight with people if you're going to help them. Here's what he's saying. You're in a battle, but you can't fight people. You can't fight people. You can fight sin. You can fight the devil. You can fight false doctrine. But when you start attacking people, you went the wrong way. That's right. You better listen at me. You're going to fight the good fight. You're going to have to strive lawfully. And you're going to have to not strive with people. But you're going to have to love them. You're going to have to love them. And what you tell them, you're going to have to tell them to help them. Not to hurt them, but to help them. Here's what he said in 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Be gentle unto all men. Have to teach patient. I just call it long suffering. That's all I know. It's pretty close. Meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Oh, we've got to be long suffering. I want you to look in chapter 3 at verse 14. Let me give you this. This one little word just jumps out at me every time I read it. But continue. Continue. That's what I want to do. I just want to continue on. The glory of God. I'm telling you, 30 and 35 year olds, 40 and 45 year old son, continue on. Can I just say, carry on. Carry on for the glory of God. Here's what he said to young Timothy. You might have thought it. I say it all the time. Brother Ronnie Sutton said it first. Here in this pulpit, he said, you would have thought Paul on the chopping block would have told young Timothy, don't run as hard as I run. Don't make as many enemies as I've made. Don't try to do what I've done. Take it a little slower. Be a little more discreet with your words. And make your message a little sweeter, not quite as bitter. What did he tell young Timothy? Preach the word. Well, hallelujah. Preach the word. Yeah, I swept. Yeah, I was in perils in the country and at the sea. And I shipwrecked and beaten and whipped. You know what he said to this young fella taking his place? You just pick up and keep on preaching the word of God. Oh, that's what I say to you young folks. I'm talking about you young married folks. Just continue. Just continue and then just preach. You say, preach, I'm not a preacher. You can tell somebody about Christ, can't you? Let's use that word preach. Give me a little license with it. I know he's talking to a preacher. But can I tell you, you can tell somebody about the Lord. You know what Paul did many times? He just told them what the Lord did for him. Hey, Acts 3, the book of Acts 3 times. You catch Paul saying, hey, they're on that Damascus road. Well, hallelujah, the light shone on me brighter than midday sun. Well, glory to God. You say, what's he doing? He's just telling them what the Lord done for him. You knew that, can't you? Can't you tell the lost world what the good God of heaven's done in your life and for your family, for you? That's what he done. He preached the word of God. I know that's not testifying, but that'll go right along with it. You can do a little preaching while you testify. That's right. This whole thing centers around the word of God. And the word of God centers around Christ. That's the way it is. I'm going to tell you, when we get away from the word of God, we get away from Christ, we've missed it. You just missed it, church. You missed it. Gauge everything by the word of God, and if you don't measure up by it, can I just say this? You missed it. You missed it. gauge me by the Word of God. And if I don't light up the Word of God, I've missed it. That's just how simple it is. And I probably have missed it. I'll miss it again, I guess. And I guess you'll miss it again. But I'm going to tell you, if the Word of God reproves us, let's take heed to it and make adjustment in our life. That's what I'm saying. Well, preach the Word of God. Preach the Word of God. Now here he gives three things that will cause you to struggle with staying true to the Word of God. Number one is the seasons. The seasons. Be instant in season, out of season. Those of you that's been in this race long enough, you know there's good times and there's in seasons, there's out seasons. You know what he said to do? When everything's cold and the north wind's blowing and there ain't nothing going on and everything seems dead and dormant, you know what he said to do, Brother Allen? Just keep on giving out the Word of God. Keep on preaching the Word of God. Keep on giving out God's blessed Word. He said, Timothy, it may get cold. It may get barren. It may appear that nothing's going on. May appear that nothing can grow and nothing may not be able to grow. You just keep sowing the seed. Sowing the seed. You say, why is that? I guess because the volunteers might come up down the road. Brother Miller, I had 15 little tomato plants come up, volunteer. My neighbor's out there and he said he's out on the porch for a while and move them in. Then he moved them out to the garden, put a little plastic thing around them. I mean, he's just tender, loving care. And them 15 little volunteers are sticking up. What was it? It's seed. It's seed laid there all winter, Brother Adam. And the sun and the water come down on them. And up come the plants. Well, glory to God. Hey, can I tell you, that's wintertime seed right there. Come right up, plant your taters in the winter and see what happens. Why, that spring will roll around that ground to warm up. Up they'll come. What is that? You say, well, no use to plant in the wintertime. Well, I don't know about that. Throw it out there. See what God might do with it. Oh, my. It was. Now, if we're not careful, instead of staying faithful, we'll let the times, affect our actions, our service. Well, just no use. It's no use. Stay faithful. Younger generation, stay faithful. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. What else do we see that Paul warned him about? Here's what he said. Listen, the times are going to come and go. You stay faithful to preach the Word. You just keep doing what you're supposed to be doing. Just keep doing it. My young folks, young married folks, I want to challenge you to do that. Oh, I know the challenges of the young married life me and Karen's been through. We've been through it. We surely have. But you just stay with God. Just stay with God. Just stay faithful. Doing what God wants you to do. In season, out of season. The times will cause you to quit if you're not careful. But then I want to say this, the response of the hearers. The actions of the hearers. Here's what it says this. Here's what it says. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. We're there. We're there right now. I'm telling you, in the Independent Baptist Church, people struggle with sound doctrine. They struggle with, you know why it's so foreign to them? You don't hear it everywhere, Brother Don. I mean, if it was here, and down there, and down there, and you left here, and you went down there, and you heard the same thing, hey, it'd be one thing, but my, we've got a rainbow of churches now. We've got liberal, we've got the truth, we've got everything in between. Just pick your flavor and you can find it. You know that's right. And so people, when they hear sound doctrine, they struggle with it. They struggle with it. Even if it's right there in the Word of God, they struggle with it. Did Paul say, now look, they're going to struggle with sound doctrine, so maybe you want to just compromise a little. He just said, preach the Word. If they won't have it, if they won't endure it, you preach the Word. You just preach the Word. There's our word endure again. We have to endure hardness on the our side of it. But then there's that crowd that won't endure sound doctrine. And so we see that. And so if you're not careful, the response of those you're dealing with will cause you to stop doing what you're supposed to do. The times, in season, out of season, the response of the hearers. Then it says this, they'll heap to themselves teachers. Now here's what he said to Timothy. He said, now you preach, but they're going to get teachers. Now I guess Timothy could have said, hey, they're teaching and they've got a big crowd. Maybe I ought to quit this preaching business and start teaching a little bit. And I understand all good preaching has. Don't run me in the ditch. But here's what preaching will do. It'll push you to a personal decision. Teaching won't necessarily do that, but preaching will bring you to the crossroads. And you have to say yay for my life or nay. And you go forward, you go back many times. That's what preaching will do for you. And here's what they say. We don't want that. Give some facts and figures and we'll take that. Give me a word definition. Give me some little truths there. Give me this or that. But don't preach to me. I won't teach it. And so you have three areas that can hurt you. And that's seasons and the saints and the seducers. And I'm just giving you that to think about. Those will attack you staying faithful in the true work of God. Paul knew that and he warned Timothy of it. You preach the Word and you be instant in season and out of season. And you reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're not going to respond well to your preaching. But you preach anyways. It's going to be winter time, but you preach anyways. Hey, there's going to be seducers that's teaching little fables that talks about in the next verse or two. Little stories with good morals behind it. That's what a fable is. It's a story with a lesson behind it. They're going to give you a good little fable, good little story. They're going to have a good little poem for you. But they're not preaching the Word of God. And they've got a big crowd. But you just preach the Word of God anyway. You just continue doing what God wants you to do. That's what he's saying. He's giving me his last orders, I guess. Get ready to be killed. Preach the Word. Here's what he said. Let me summarize it. He said this in chapter 1. Stir up the gift. Kick up some dust. But if you're going to do that, you're going to have to get rid of that fear. God's given us a mind of power and love and soundness. And you're going to have to be unashamed. You're going to have to get rid of that shame. You're going to have to get ready to suffer. That's right. You're going to have to do that. And then when you get in the battle, you're going to have to endure hardness. And you're going to have to stay unentangled. That right there gets most of us right there. We're whooped right there. We can't go any farther. But if you're going to do something for God, you're going to have to get unentangled. You're going to have to strive lawfully. You're going to have to study. Rightly dividing the Word of God. You're going to have to flee some things and follow some things. You're going to have to be long-suffering with the brethren. You've got to continue in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You're going to have to continue in some things. And then, even though it becomes winter from time to time, the seasons roll around. Roll around. And even though the saints won't respond, They won't endure sound doctrine, even though the seducers will be preaching their little fables and getting big crowds. You just keep preaching the Word of God. Keep preaching the Word of God. You know what he's saying? You just stay with the truth. You just go God's way. God's way is preaching way. That is right. Foolishness of preaching. Isn't that what it says? God's way is a preaching way. Preaching's declaring a message. You can say, you can define it. I've heard it. Find multiple ways you can just define it. But can I tell you, in one sense of the word, and I know I'm using it loosely. Don't get sideways on me. We're all preachers in one sense of the word. We all declare the truth of the Word of God. We're all to give the gospel out. Just keep doing it. Just keep sowing seed. Maybe there'll be a few volunteers come up. Planted 15 tomato plants in my garden. Didn't buy one of them, Brother Miller. All volunteers. I sowed the seed. I sowed the seed in off season. God brought it up in season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for that. Well, young folk, we need you. This church needs you. I could start calling out everybody in that 30 to 45 year old age or 25 to whatever age it is. This church needs you. I don't say that much. I don't say that probably near enough. We need you to be what God wants you to be. We need that out of you. We need that out of everybody. We need that out of every soul in this church. We need you being and doing what God would have for your life. But you can't do it unless you make some of these things that Paul told Timothy, unless you make that part of your life. It starts right here. Starts right there in the mind. And you know the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds was tied to imaginations and thoughts. Right up here in the mind. He's got that in his mind. You ain't going to be able to do nothing with him. I've heard that time and again. You ain't going to be able to help him. He's got his mind set, and that's how it is. And even if they're wrong, he got it up here. The only thing that's going to help is the Word of God. The Word of God and the power of God. Here's what I'm saying to you. We need you. Would you be what God wants you to be for His glory? Please, I beg you to consider what I've said tonight. If it's the truth, would you just make it part of your life? Part of your life. Would you incorporate it into your life? We've had some of our young folks leave us here lately. It just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart in two. Just breaks my heart in two. Let's be good soldiers. Let's be good soldiers of the cross. Stay with God. The world's going to hell. The religious crowd, they're going liberal. They're going contemporary. They're going casual. Stay with God. Go with God. Stay in the old time way. God will bless you for it. We need a place. There needs to be a place. And maybe there's some others. I believe Brother Bryant's doing good work now where he's at. There's some others out there, but we need a place that's upholding, standing forth for the old time way. The old time way. Well, that's my little message, my little challenge to you. We need you. We need you. Oh, my workers are wearing out, wearing down. Somebody's got to take the place of the work for the cause of Christ and the glory of God. Brother Allen, let's get a verse of a song. I don't know if the Lord spoke to a soul tonight. I don't know. That's His business. I've tried to preach. I had another little message over in Judges 14. I thought about preaching, but I believe I preached what God wanted me to preach tonight. I want to ask you now, has God been speaking to your heart? You man enough or woman enough to be honest with Him? Just to be honest with me, it starts in the mind. Starts in the mind. Would you be honest? Would you be honest with Him? To tonight. Brother Allen's going to sing. Please do business with God. Please. Please do business. Oh, Lord, please speak to hearts tonight. Speak to hearts tonight. Do a work in their heart and life. Oh, God, do a work tonight. Sing, Brother Allen.